Okay, Baruch Hashem, we've entered into Chodesh Kislev, and it's time to start preparing ourselves for the lights of Hanukkah. So I'd like to speak about one word, in the Sefer Yetzira. The Sefer Yetzira, as we know, aligns various, I always call them puzzle pieces, I don't know a good way to describe it, different expressions that correspond to each of the months. The B'nai Yisasker talks about in the source number one, quoting from Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the earliest works of Kabbalah attributed to Avram Avinu. B'Sefer Yetzirah, Himlech O Samach B'Shena. Sefer Yetzirah lines up the pieces for us. It tells us that every month has a letter, every month has an action or an emotion, every month has a body part, every month has an astrological sign. So it says in Sefer Yetzirah, Himlech O Samach B'Shena. The letter Samach was attached to the concept of sleep. The action or expression for the month of Kislev is sleep. V'kesher lo keser, kesher lo keser, and attached a crown, v'tzarfan zeh b'zeh, v'tzar behem keshes ba'olam. And the astrological sign is the keshes, the bow. V'kislev b'shana, Kislev is the month that we're talking about, v'keva b'nefesh zachar n'keva, and the body part is the stomach. The letter Samach, sleep, the Keshes, the month of Kislev, and the stomach. And needless to say, a person has to have deep vision to try to put the pieces together. Thankfully, the Svarim HaKadoshim help us to do it a lot. And tonight I want to focus on specifically the concept of sleep. What is the connection between the month of Kislev and and Shena and sleep? What is that connection? So obviously you can look outside this time of the year. It's dark, it's cold. It's a sleepy time. The world looks kind of sleepy. The trees look kind of sleepy. We feel kind of sleepy. It's a time where we have long nights, right? That even if a person leaves their office or place of work at an earlier hour, you find already it's dark outside. And we encounter sleep in this week's parsha as well. Yaakov Avinu, at the beginning of the parsha, Vayetze Yaakov Iber Sheva Vayelech Haran. Yaakov Avinu is traveling, following his father and mother's instructions to leave his home, to travel away from Esav. Vayifgav makom, he encounters a certain place. Vayalin sham, kiva shemesh. He also was dealing with sunset, a sun that set, was setting rather early. Vayikach me'avnei amakom, v'yosem mirash osav. He took the stones of the place, he placed them around his head to protect him. Vayishkav makomahu. And Yaakov Avinu, it doesn't say he went to sleep, it says he went to lie down. Clearly he fell asleep because Vayachalom v'inei sulam mutzav arza v'roshom megiya shamayim. He has this unbelievable dream. A ladder firmly planted on the ground with the head of the ladder, the top of the ladder reaching to the heights of heavens. V'inei malachei elokim olim v'yardim bo. And angels are ascending and descending on the ladder. V'inei Hashem nitzav alav. Whatever that must have been like to picture, Hashem was, so to speak, standing over him. And Hashem introduces himself. Vayomer ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha Elokei Yitzchak Haaretz Asher Atah Shochiv Aleha Lecha Etnena Ulezarecha. The land that you're lying on, this is sacred soil, it'll be given to your children. Vahaya Zaracha Ka'afar Haaretz. And by the way, your children are going to be many. Uferatzta Yama V'keid Matzafon V'negva, you'll expand in all directions. V'nivruchu B'cha Kol Mishpachos Ha'adama U'Vizarecha. You'll have unbelievable success as a family. Hashem promises Yaakov, I know you're being chased out of your home. You're leaving your comfort zone. This is after 14 more years in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. I know you're very frightened for your life, but don't worry. Hashem says, I'll be with you. I'll protect you wherever you go. And I'll make sure that you come back to this land. You're going to make it back intact. Hashem says, I will not abandon you until I carry out everything that I promised to do. And all of a sudden, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishtaso, Yaakov wakes up from his dream, from this intense dream. Vayomer Achein Yesh Hashem B'makom Hazeh V'Anochi Lo Yadati. Wow. I didn't realize I'm sleeping in such a holy place. Anochi Lo Yadati. I didn't realize it. Explains Rashi, what didn't he realize? Rashi tells us in source number 3, Anochi Lo Yadati, She'ilu Yadati, had I known, lo yashanti b'makom kadosh kazeh. Had I known, I wouldn't have defiled the place by sleeping in such a place. Now, this was not regular sleep, you understand. This was a tzaddik who was having dreams about a kadosh baruch hu and angels in a very clear way. And yet Yaakov still felt that sleeping in such a place is not appropriate. It's not an appropriate thing for a person to sleep in such a holy place. Sleep in Chazal, understandably so, sleep has very negative connotations to it. So for example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remind us as people, as human beings, that we're human, we get tired. In fact, Adam HaRishon was so lofty, Adam HaRishon was so impressive, that when the angels saw him, they thought perhaps maybe he's God. Maybe he's God, so to speak, in the embodiment of God in this world. So how did the Kodesh Baruch Hu teach the angels that Adam HaRishon wasn't God? Says the Medrash in source number 4, B'sha Shabar Kodesh Baruch Hu was Adam HaRishon. Ta'u bo malachei hasharis. When Adam was created, the angels were confused. Ubikshir lomer lafanav kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. They wanted to say kadosh. They wanted to refer to Adam as kadosh. Ma'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu. How did Hashem teach all of the angels that he's just a regular human being? Obviously, Adam was not just a regular human being, but he was still human. He pil alav tardema. Adam fell into a deep sleep, and the angels very quickly, v'yadua kol shu Adam. They said, he's a human being. He gets tired. He doesn't have endless strength. And it quotes an amazing pasuk. Look at the pasuk it quotes. Hadahu dichsiv. This is what it says in the last pasuk in the second parak of Yeshaya. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama ba'apo kivama nechshav hu. What's the pshat in that pasuk? Chidlu lachem min ha'adam. It means stop wasting your time. Don't give so much honor to man. Don't waste your time with man. You know why? Asher neshama ba'apo. Because he has a breath of life in his nostrils. When a person, I think what Chazal are getting at here, when a person is sleeping, right, the only thing that they're really actively doing is breathing. That's really what defines their existence. Kivama nechshavu. When a person is asleep and he's just breathing, look how limited he is. In a certain sense, I was trying to think about it today, I think what the Medrash is highlighting through this pasuk, when you're sleeping, the only thing that is being emphasized is the fact that what? That you're taking a breath. It's in a certain sense, it's a flashback, and it's a repetition over and over again with each breath of the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim, of God blowing a breath of life into a clump of dirt, the way that Hashem created Adam HaRishon. So it's the ultimate reminder that your life is not yours, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives it to you. So Hashem taught the angels, Adam, even Adam HaRishon, as lofty as he was, that they could confuse him for some type of godly being to say Kadosh before him, he's just a person. So on the one hand, Chazal have a very negative understanding of sleep. The Gemara in Brachos says that there are 5 things that we can experience, which are a 60th of something else. Says the Gemara in source number 5, Brachos min Zayin amid Beis, Chamisha echad meishishim. There are 5 things which are 1 of 60, that are 1/60th of something. Eish, Dvash, Shabbos, Sheina, and Chalom. Eish, fire, in this world, Echad Mishishim LeGehenim. Fire in this world is 1/60th of the fires of Gehenim. Dvash, Echad Mishishim LeMan. The sweetness of honey is 1/60th of the flavor of the man. Shabbos is a 60th, a Me'ein Olam Haba, as we refer to it. It's an Echad Mishishim LeOlam Haba. Sheina, sleep, Echad Mishishim Lemisa. It's a taste of death. Obviously, again, it's Chazal's way of saying death comes with the greatest tumah of all, the Avi Avos HaTumah, a dead body. So sleep has a very negative side to it. But let's pause here before we get to the final one on the Gemara's list. Because it's hard to imagine that when the Sefer Yetzirah is putting together a list of actions or emotions that correspond to the months, it's hard to imagine that the actions or emotions can only be expressed in a negative way. So take, for example, Chodesh Nisan. What's the action or emotion for Nisan? Sicha, speech. Right? So you'll say, what comes to mind? You think of speech. A person can speak a lot of Lashon Hara. A person could use speech in a very destructive way. Of course, the speech of Chodesh Nisan is the Pesach Seder. Right? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol Hamarbe Lisaper. Hareza Meshubach. Use your speech in a holy way. Pesach means Peh, a mouth, that's Sach, that speaks. So you have to imagine the Chodesh Kislev, Sheina, can't just be, this is a dark month and make sure you don't sleep a lot. There has to be a way to sleep in Chodesh Kislev, because it's a sleepy time, there has to be a way in Kedusha, on the level of Pnimius, there has to be some deep secret to sleep. It can't just be that sleep highlights our humanity and shows how frail we are. It can't just be that sleep is a reminder that, you know, every night you taste a little bit of death and you remind yourself again of the frailty of our existence. Would we say kol hamarbe? The more a person sleeps in kislev, harezem eshubach. That's what Chazal are getting at here. We would never say such a thing. So Chazal continue the list. There's one more 1/60th. The Gemara says number 5 chalom echad mishishim lenevuah. A dream is a 60th of prophecy. See, on the one hand, when a person goes to sleep, it's like this terrible surrender. It's this lack of ability to accomplish. It's this reminder that I'm so limited in my ability to do things. And you can think of sleep as maybe a holy thing in the sense that it's a reminder of, yes, that Hashem runs the world. That itself could be the lesson. But when I go to sleep, when I'm actually sleeping, not just the surrender and the recognition that Hashem runs the world, not just feeling the frailty of my life. When a person sleeps, he has the ability to be bigger than he is when he's awake. How so? Because we can dream. What are dreams? When a person has a dream, they have this ability to transcend time and space. You could be somewhere in your mind where you've never been before. You can have certain powers that you can't actually have when you're alive and when you're awake. So on the one hand, sleep is this very terrible tragedy. Right? It's a reminder of how limited we are. On the other hand, there's something about sleep. When I go to sleep, I can actually, in a certain sense, do things that I can't do when I'm awake. Granted, it's all taking place in my dreams. But say Chazal, a dream is not a small thing. A dream is a very deep thing. A dream is a taste of nevuah. Most of the prophets got their prophecies in their sleep, in their dreams. It says Ashir Ashiram in the 5th chapter. Ani Yeshena, it's not on the page in front of you, Ani Yeshena Valibi Er. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. But in a certain sense, what that means is that dafka when I go to sleep, libi er, my heart can be awake more than when I'm awake. There's a part of myself, there's an emotional part of myself that can transcend my limitations dafka when I'm sleeping. So Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep, and all of a sudden Yaakov is having these awesome, lofty dreams. He sees a ladder that's reaching to the heights of heaven. He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, standing over him. He sees angels. So in a certain sense, the secret to Chodesh Kislev is that Kislev is not just a month of sleep, but rather Kislev is a month of dreams. Kislev gives us a chance to try to understand the sugya of dreams, the mysterious and mystical and wondrous thing that takes place when we dafka go to sleep. Let's try to connect Kislev to dreams a little bit more. What number month is Kislev in the calendar year? Well, the Torah tells us we count from Nisan. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Number nine. Okay, so let's find a 9 that we can maybe associate with Kislev. We'll see if you like the connection. If you look in Parshas Tetzaveh, source number 6, we know Aaron a Kohen, Aaron Kohanim in general, we think about this time of the year, Al Yedei Kohanecha Kedoshim, those are the great warriors who brought about the Hanukkah miracle. Aaron HaKohen wore a magnificent thing over his chest, over his heart, called the Choshen. And the Choshen, the Torah tells in Parshas Tetzaveh, was filled with 4 rows of stones. What was the 9th stone? 12 months, 12 stones? Let's see. Umelei sabo miluas even, arbaturim oven. You should fill the 4 rows of the Choshen with filling stones. Row number 1. Tor odem pitda uvarekes hator echad. Hator hasheni nofech sapir v'yahalom. Hator hashlishi, stone 7, 8, 9, leshem, shavo. And stone number 9 is what? Is achlama. The achlama stone. What's the achlama stone? Anyone know? The amethyst stone. Beautiful purple stone. Right? The achlama, as it's called in Hebrew. But notice the word achlama, the 9th stone corresponding to Kislev, has the word chalom in it. Any connection there? Believe it or not, if you look in the writings of the Radak, in the Sefer HaSharashim, where the Radak explains the origin of words, the Radak has an amazing entry in source number 7. He says, the achlamaston, nikra ba'arvi, it's called in Arabic, al chalma. What does that mean? V'hi even kol mi shehi be'etzba'o la'olam yira chalomos. Apparently, a tradition, that if you wore this type of stone, the amethyst stone, if you wear it, I guess, on your finger, if you have a ring, an amethyst ring, stone ring, so that a person always sees dreams. It was mesugal for dreams. So therefore, the name of the stone was Achlama, because it represents dreams. So the 9th stone of the Choshen, 9 corresponding to the month of Kislev, is a stone that apparently brings a person to dreams. Okay, interesting. But it gets stronger. The Kislev and dream connection gets stronger. How many times in the Torah do we explicitly encounter someone having a dream? How many dreams are there in the Chumash, from Bereishis through Vezos HaBracha? How many dreams are there? Take a guess. Explicit dreams. 10 dreams. 10 dreams in the Torah. They're all in Bereishis. The first explicit dream that we encounter is Avimelech, the king of Gerar, having his dream in Parshas Vayera. But the other 9 dreams, the other explicitly stated 9 dreams in the Parshios of Vayetze, Vayeshev, and Miketz, are all Parshios that we read in Kislev. That means most of the dreams of the Torah take place in Chodesh Kislev. That's an amazing thing. And therefore, Chodesh Kislev, as we read those Parshios, we read about dreams. This week we read about Yaakov's unbelievable dream. Right? We're going to read about Paro's dreams. We're going to read about many other dreams. We're going to learn about Yosef, who both dreams and interprets dreams. We'll get to him in a moment. Right? So the Kriya is Ma'or the Zaman. Whenever you read something in the Chumash, right, it's connected to what's happening in the calendar year. So it's not by chance that most, the overwhelming majority of dreams that we encounter in the Torah, with one that we read at the end of Cheshvan, but the rest of the dreams are all read in the month of Kislev. When we read that parsha, that awakens and that connects us and helps us to understand what's happening in the calendar, in the month of Kislev. They say the Baal HaTanya early on, when he was early on in his leadership, he said to his chassidim one time, it's very important, a person has to learn to live with the times. And no one knew what he meant. So the chassidim, they started asking around. The way the story is told, they said that, you know, later, eventually, the Baal HaTanya's children would always have the Mitler Rebbe had all sorts of explanations for things that his father, but in the early years, sometimes the Rebbe would say something no one knew how to interpret it. They weren't used to his way of speaking. And they were discussing, what did the Rebbe mean, you have to live with the times? What does that mean, you have to live with the times? So finally, it got to the Rebbe's brother, Rebbe Yehuda Leib, and he said, I'll tell you what my brother, I'll tell you what the Baal HaTanya means. Living with the times means that when you read the Parsha, and if you divide up the Parsha into the days of the week, and you learn a particular Aliyah on that day, and you learn Rashi on that Aliyah that day, you're doing Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum in that type of way, so you have to try to see what's happening in the world and in your particular life in the Psukim that you read that morning. That's what it means to live with the times. It's not about analyzing, you know, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. It's about looking at the Parsha and saying, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to me through the Torah? So therefore, if in Chodesh Kislev we spend so much time learning, reading, studying about dreams, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying to us, in the month of Kislev, the sleepy month of Kislev, Him Lecho Samach B'Sheina, this month which corresponds to sleep, is a time to dream. It's a time for a person to dream. Who in the Torah, more than anyone, is connected to dreams? It's Yosef. Yosef is referred to in source number 8, Vayomru Ish El Achiv, Hinei Baha Chalamos Halazeba. Obviously, his brothers were poking fun at him. They called Yosef HaTzadik the Baal HaChalomos. What does it mean to be the Baal HaChalomos? Baal HaChalomos means the something. Complete understanding of the concept of dreams. Yosef, again, has himself very wild dreams, which his brothers are mocking. But Yosef believes in his dreams. Yosef becomes a dream interpreter. And the connections between Yosef and Hanukkah and the month of Kislev are abundant. Look in the writings of the Bnei Yisachar. Look in the writings of the Shlach Kadosh. The same way I just told you a moment ago, we're reading about dreams in these Parshios because of the connection to Kislev. We're also starting to see the story of Yosef unfold before our eyes in the Torah because Yosef is also very deeply connected to this month. So the brothers look at Yosef and they say, you're a Baal Chalomos. They're saying it in a negative sense. You have crazy dreams. Chalomos, Dimyonos, all sorts of strange ideas. Right? None of it's true. You might as well be sleeping. And yet Yosef believes in his dreams. And Yaakov, a person himself who dreamt, again, in a very grandiose way in this week's Parsha, Yaakov rebukes Yosef publicly, but Va'aviv Shamar Sadavar. He knows that sometimes dreams are saying something very real. A dream is a 60th of a nevuah. You can look at Yosef and the brothers say, nah, Shena, it is sleep. But really, Yosef HaTzadik is on to something big. That's why you could even say the gematria of Yosef HaTzadik is gematria Shena. The action of the month of Kislev is exactly the same gematria as Yosef HaTzadik, 365. Because he's the one who teaches us that it could be sleep, but it could also be the Baal HaChalomos teaches us that sleep is not just sleep. Sleep is the ability for a person to dream. The brothers look at Yosef and they say, nah, they quote the Pasuk in Zechariah. They look at Yosef and they say, Chalomos hashav yidaberu. Chalomos speak lies. There's a lot of nonsense in dreams, and that's true also. I heard B'Shem the Novominska Rebbe, he was once asked, how do we view dreams nowadays? You know, you have different opinions in Chazal also. You have Gemaras that say dreams are 60th of Nevuah. You have other Gemaras that say dreams don't mean anything. Right? The Gemara tells us also what a person thinks about by day, a person dreams about at night. The Novominska Rebbe said, today our dreams, unfortunately, don't carry as much weight as earlier generations because our mind is so overexposed to images and to ideas and to there's just so much that we see and encounter, right? That often our dreams are just a reflection of whatever, you know, TV show or movie we were watching the night before. Or something we read in the newspaper, something that happened that day. We're just so overexposed. So when we have a wild dream, it's not necessarily an indication that Hashem is giving you a prophecy. But again, at its core, a dream is a very holy thing. So the brothers look at Yosef and they say, nah, chalomos shav yidaberu. But then you take a step back and you say, hold on a second. But prophets get their nevuah in their dreams. Moshe is the exception. He gets his nevuah, pal, pal, daberbo. But most prophecy comes about. Real prophets. Again, not a person who has a dream, we say it's a taste of prophecy. A prophet who has a prophecy receives a nevuah in a dream. Bachalom adaber bo, says the Pasuk in Baal Oscha. That's how Hashem speaks to us. And therefore, the Gemara in Brachos, we have to take very serious this time of the year. To think that every time we encounter a dream, we're tasting a little bit of a nevuah. A Jew goes to light the Chanukah candles. You light the Chanukah candles. There's an amazing line from the Kav HaYashar on the page in front of you in source number 9. It's in the Kav HaYashar, Ritzvi Hirsch Koidenover. It's in Perek Tzadi Vav of the Kav HaYashar, which is a very fascinating sefer, all sorts of interesting things collected in there. He says that if a Jew knows how to light the Chanukah candles the right way and pays attention to what the Neiro, so to speak, want to convey to you, not just what you want to convey to the world by lighting that menorah in your window, says the Kav HaYashar, Mevinim umasigim al yedei mitzvah halakas haneros shall mitzvah asidos. That through fulfilling this mitzvah, a person comes to understand asidos, the future. The candles are telling you things that are coming up in your life. The same way you read the parsha, it's telling you, it's revealing things that are happening in your week. The candles are speaking nevuah of the future. And look what he writes. The haner shall mitzvah misnabe kamo navi al pi Hashem. The candles are prophetic candles. There's something happening in this month. Again, the world of dreams, the world of nevuah. There's something big that's taking place. And again, the challenge to us is, what does it mean to us? So it's a dark time. So I'll sleep a little more. Maybe I'll have a few more dreams. So what? What's it telling to us? How is it the mission statement for Kislev, Shena, which we're interpreting really means chalomos? That ninth stone on the Kohen Gadol's Choshen. The achlama, the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik. The dreams, 9 out of 10 times in the Torah, a dream is presented in these parshios. What's the story? So we're going to try together now for a couple of minutes. I'm going to try. I'm going to break my teeth on it because I don't have the nekudos and I just can't do Rav Kook. My Hebrew is just not good enough. I hope one day, I dream that one day I'll be able to read Rav Kook. But in the Oros HaKodesh, from Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Kook has a piece called HaChalomos HaGadol. And people like to talk about this piece in the month of Kislev because, again, of this connection, this deep connection to the month of Kislev in dreams. And Rav Kook Kedarko B'Kodesh has a different way of looking at everything, a deeper way of looking at things. And listen to what Rav Kook writes. Okay, we'll try. I'm going to try to read some of the words together. HaChalomos HaGedolim Yesod HaOlam Heim. He says, the great dreams are the foundation of the world. And now we start to shift gears, not only from what? From an actual dream when a person's asleep, but to be able to dream when we're awake. Maybe that's what Chodesh Kislev is about. Maybe Chodesh Kislev is the month where a Jew can dream of impossible things becoming possible. Where I could take a little pach shemen, which clearly doesn't have enough oil to last for 8 nights, and make it last for 8 nights. I could take a tiny band of soldiers, people who are involved in Torah study, turn them into warriors overnight, put them up against tens of thousands, like Rashi writes in Vezos HaBracha, and somehow this little army of 13 people, according to Rashi and Vezos HaBracha, by the Bracha of Levi, somehow takes on an army of tens of thousands and is victorious. How is it possible? Gibor and Biad Chalashim? That's a Hayinu Kecholmim. It's a dream. But sometimes dreams come true. That's what we learn in Chodesh Kislev. Sometimes the Tameim fall into the hands of the Tahorim, even though it seems like there's a lot more Tameim in the world than Tahorim. Sometimes the Rabim fall to the Ma'atim. Sometimes the large ones, right, fall to the few. The strong ones fall to the weak. So says Rav Kook, HaChalomos HaGadolim Yisod HaOlam Hi. The ability to dream big and the great dreams throughout history are the foundation of the world. HaMadregos Shonos Hein. There are many types of dreams. We've been talking about a person who's sleeping and having a dream. But what about the dreams that a person has in so many different other aspects and expressions of their life? Chol Nimheim HaNeviim. The Neviim had dreams. It was an actual dream, right? But it was a prophetic dream. Bachalom Adaberbo, the pasuk I mentioned earlier. Chol Mimheim HaMishorim B'Hakitz. Chol Mimbali Machshava HaGedolim. The Tikkun Olam. He says people of song. People are singing prophetic songs. They're dreaming. They're singing about ideas, things that they want to become true. It's a tefillah. There's a dream of a tefillah. There's a dream of a person who says, I want to make a difference in the world, says Rav Kook. That's also a dream. Martin Luther King had a dream. People have dreams. Right? People think of things that a lot of, and very often the response is, nah, it's not realistic. That's the point of a dream. A dream gives me the ability to try something that's not realistic. They say, well, you can have a dream, you know, one night that you're flying around in your dream. Or you're traveling to other parts of the world that you've never been to before. Right? How do I know about it? How can I picture it? How can I have conversations with people I've never met in my dream? But the answer is that's the nature of a dream. Chol mim anu kulanu b'shuv Hashem es shivat Zion, says Rav Kook. We're all part of a dream called Gullis. And in Gullis we're dreaming of the return to Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, that we should be able to what? That we should be able to see the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach. That's our collective dream. So says Rav Kook, but unfortunately, Hagasus shalachayim hachevroisim, biyosam shekuim rak bitzidom hachomri, noteles es or hachalom min haolam. But sometimes, because of the crudeness of conventional life, unfortunately, the light, so to speak, the hopes of those dreams becomes extinguished. A person loses the light of a dream. As Zohar HaHarchava Shalom. A person loses the splendor of what? Of the Harchava, of having wide horizons, of dreaming big. People stop dreaming big. And unfortunately, life sometimes just sucks the hope out of a person. The dreams, whether it's a dream when you're asleep, or whether it's a dream when you're awake. And you lose that hope, that brightness, that possibility of the dream. And then Rav Kook writes an amazing thing. Rav Kook writes, I'm not even going to try the words because they're just they get harder as they go. Rav Kook says, you know what happens? What happens eventually is that we start to have strange dreams. Right? Sometimes it's unholy dreams or unholy aspirations. A person sometimes finds themselves daydreaming about something inappropriate or strange or unusual. Right? A person starts to contemplate something that's forbidden to them. How am I going to make money in some illegal way? Well, it's not so illegal, you know, it's not so bad. A person starts thinking about crude things. And imagining things that cannot be and never will be. But in a certain sense, Rav Kook says, that when a person has strange thoughts, whatever they may be, even if they're unholy dreams, even if they're dreams that are a revolt against reality, in a certain sense, Rav Kook says that's also a good thing. In a certain sense, that's also a good thing. There's an emes to that. Because at least you still believe in the possibility of things being different than the way that you know them to be right now. And that takes us again back to the pasuk. Hayinu kecholmen, we're all dreaming. We're dreaming of Shivat Zion, we're dreaming of that return to Eretz Yisrael. So Chanukah gives us that opportunity, the month of Kislev gives us the opportunity, right? Not to fall asleep because we're despondent, because it's so dark and it's so cold and it's, how can I accomplish this time of the year? But in a certain sense, when I go into that state of hibernation, right, I can start planning for all sorts of things that I'm going to do in the future. And some of them may be very unrealistic, some of them may be inappropriate. But that spirit of dreaming, again, Rav Kook began with HaChalomos HaGadolim Yisod HaOlamim. Anything big that ever happened in this world started as a pipe dream. As something that could not be. There was a chassid who came to the Nesiv HaShalom, the late Slonim Rebbe, Rav Shalom Noach Berzovsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he said, Rebbe, I'm a person of great dreams and great aspirations. But the bottom line is, all my plans, they always fizzle out. I'm a person of great she'ifa. I want to do amazing things. But I'm really, really scared that when I pass away, and if you look inside in source number 11, this is found in the Sefer Aleinu L'Shabeach, this story, He said to the Nesivos Shalom, Chay Shashani, I'm concerned, Amar Achasid L'Rabo, Shemikol Shifu Asai, from all of my dreams, all of my hopes, all of my longing, all of my aspiration, all of my Ratzon, Lo Yisha'er Ma'uma, I'm going to be left with nothing. To such a degree that, you know what they're going to write on my tombstone? On my kever, they're going to write, at the end of my life, they're going to write where it's bolded, Po Nitman Bala Shifos. Right? Sometimes the kever says, Pei Nun, says Po Nitman. Here is buried. Po Nitman Bala Shifos. Here is the guy who wanted to do a lot of good things, in parentheses, but did nothing with his life. Bala Shifos. Po Nitman Bala Shifos. Here is the guy who wanted to be a great person. He had aspirations, he had hopes, he had dreams, but he became a nobody. And the Slonim Rebbe said to him such a powerful thing. And it's why no matter how many times our dreams haven't worked out, we have to continue to dream. And Chodesh Kislev gives us the possibility that dreams do come true. A little bit of oil sometimes does last for 8 days. And a small army sometimes wins. Right? And the Jewish people, who are outnumbered, both in number and in philosophy, in the way the world thinks, we're going to win. Mashiach is going to come. Tara will win over Tumah. Or will win over Choshech. Even though it seems like there's a lot more Choshech. But that little light in the window, that little light of the menorah. It's ironic that our non-Jewish neighbors are busy putting up a lot of lights. And we say, nah, you don't need a lot of lights. You just need one little light. If it's a one little sincere light, it can drive away all the darkness in the world. So the Slonim Rebbe said to him, Amar lo HaRebbe, you think that's a small thing? That they're going to write on your matseva, here is buried the Bala She'ifos. Va'ani, imayisi roa kever kazeh. If I were to walk past the cemetery and see such a matzeva, ha'isi holeich l'spalel alav, I would go stand by that kever and daven there. It's a holy place. It's a makom kadosh. You know why? Because a lot of people don't even dream. Don't let your dreams don't always work out. V'chinokel hu kol kach lios bal shifos. Is it a small thing to be a person of great hope, of great aspiration? That's not a small thing at all. A Jew has to continue to dream big. In less than a month from now, Daf Yomi is going to complete his 13th cycle. Right? You speak to people, sometimes people say, you know, when they make a siyum the first time on a Shas, learning Daf Yomi, and they share some of their experience, they say, you know, this is like a dream come true. I never would have imagined that I could learn Daf Yomi. So I want to tell you a little story about Daf Yomi that really goes to the dream of Daf Yomi. At one point, Rabbi Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, lived a very short life. A very, very short life. His whole life was about my age. And he accomplished unbelievable things in Torah, in spreading, being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the Polish, you know, parliament. Unbelievably connected person. A real dreamer. Rabbi Meir Shapiro was traveling one time by train throughout Poland. And he comes to a certain train station. And he gets off the train and people are gathering to greet the Lublina Rav, as he was known. And a certain young Rav walks over to him. And he introduces himself. He says, I want to just say hello. I'm the son-in-law of the Shatzarov. Oh, the son-in-law of the Shatzarov. Well, of course, I know your father-in-law very well. So he says to me, he says, by any chance, is your Rebbetzin here? Now, it was a little unusual for Meir Shapiro to ask to speak to this young rabbi's wife, but yeah, she's here. I'd like to, if I could speak to her for a minute. So he calls over his Rebbetzin. She comes over. And he says, hi, do you remember me? I mean, now Rav Meir Shapiro is the Lublina Rav. He's, you know, world famous. Right? He says, but do you remember me? Do you remember me? When I was a little child, I used to come to your home. I used to learn with your father, the Shatzarov. So she says, yeah, of course I remember you. She says, I remember, like, very often after I learned with your father, you and your siblings, we used to sometimes, you know, we'd hang out in the courtyard, we'd play a little bit or whatever. As a young kid, I used to go outside to play. So she says, yeah, I remember. She's getting like a little, you know, squeamish. So he says, and do you remember as a young child, I told you one day I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to create something that's going to change the way that Jews learn Torah. Do you remember I had this crazy idea called Daf Yomi? And I used to talk about how I was going to unite world Jewry on the same page of the Talmud, that everyone should be studying the same page. It didn't matter where you go in the world. I had this crazy idea as a kid, how someday I'm going to grow up and I'm going to come up with a way to somehow unite the world, that everyone should study the same page of Torah, this Daf Yomi idea. And at this point, she could hardly look at him. And then he says to her, he says, and remember how you and your siblings used to make fun of my ideas? Like, yeah, you're going to go and change the world. You're going to unite the whole world. Everyone's going to be learning the same page of Gemara that you tell them to learn. And he says, do you know that I almost lost my confidence because you made fun of my dreams? Now, disclaimer, I once told this story. I don't remember where it was. Someone got very angry that I told this story. They thought it was a very unbecoming story. Meir Shapiro is making this woman feel bad. Okay, please don't. That's not the lesson of the story. Meir Shapiro obviously felt, I'm sure he said it in a way that, you know, on the one hand, it was Musar. He was giving her Musar. And you'll see why it was important in a second. He said to her, you have to understand, I almost lost my confidence. Not only my ability to dream big and changing Torah for others, but for myself. I started to think, what difference does my Torah make? What difference does my learning make? And he said to her, never, ever, ever laugh at the dream of a child. Let your children dream big. Believe that a child can dream big. There was once a gathering of rabbis in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Someone shared this story. It's the type of story that you hear and you say, yeah, it could be true. Maybe it's true. So the story was going around. They were talking about this story. So Rav Moshe Halberstam, who was the Rav of the Eidah Charedis in Yerushalayim, he says, it's true. It's a true story. I know it's a true story. He says, I know it's a true story. He says, because the woman at the train station was my mother. And when we were kids, she used to tell us, dream big. I want to correct the wrong that I did. Dream big. She told us, little kids, you could become a great person. Became the head of the Eidah Charedis in Yerushalayim. It's pretty chashuv. My mother told us to dream big. Because she learned from Meir Shapiro, never ever laugh at the dream of a child. Chanukah, the lashon chinuch. Right? We have to be youthful and dream big. Children sometimes have crazy ideas, crazy aspirations. Sometimes as we get a little bit older and reality sets in, we stop dreaming big. But a Jew has to keep their eyes open and continue to dream big. I want to end by talking about one of the great dreamers of the modern era. Someone who always had big dreams, and his dreams came true. I hope it will be mechazik us to dream big in this month of Kislev. The Panovitcher Rav. When the Panovitcher Rav was a young person, he went for an eye exam. And the doctor told him, he said, it's very interesting. He said, one of your eyes is farsighted, one of your eyes is nearsighted. And he recommended not to get glasses. He felt that he could just kind of, you know, navigate that on his own. It would be better than exerting both of his eyes. But they said many years later, it was said that it was such a perfect description of the vision of the Panovitcher Rav. A person who is very much in the present, understood the situation as it is right now, but also had tremendous vision down the road to be able to see beyond. The Panovitcher Rav came to Eretz Yisrael in 1940. In 1941, the Panovitcher Rav once got up and he declared, he said, start writing tefillin and mezuzos for the kibbutz of Ein Charod. It was the most secular kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. He said, don't worry, they're going to want tefillin and mezuzos one day. People laughed at him. It's still the middle of World War II. The Panovitcher Rav is picking out a plot of land in the Zichron Meir area of Bnei Brak, and he finds this hilltop and he says, I'm going to build the yeshiva over here. Yeshiva? You're dreaming of yeshiva? Yeah, I'm going to build the yeshiva. It needs to be big enough for at least for 500 Talmidim. 500 Talmidim? He could have said 50,000 Talmidim. That's how realistic it was. It was an absurd number. It made no sense. And people laughed at him. They said, it's never going to happen. He said, you'll see. There's going to be millions of Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Torah Jews in Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be millions of Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. He said, the yeshivas of Panovitch and Chevron, there's not going to be space for Talmidim. They laughed at him. They laughed him out of town. But he continued to dream. He stood on that hilltop and he said, I can hear the sound of Torah emanating from this very spot where I'm going to build the yeshiva. He bought the plot of land for, I guess, what was a pretty good price. But everyone said, you're wasting your time. It's not happening. It just can't be. When the Panovitcher Rav pitched the idea to the chief rabbi, Rav Isaac Herzog at the time, he said to the Panovitcher Rav, you're dreaming. You're thinking of a Europe that once was, the great yeshivas of Lithuania. It's not happening. Your mom is dreaming. And the Panovitcher Rav said something very famous, and I want to conclude with his words. The Panovitcher Rav said, you're right, I am dreaming. He said, but I'm dreaming with my eyes open as opposed to dreaming with my eyes closed. He said, most people close their eyes and they have dreams, and because they're not willing to kind of look at the dream, it sometimes doesn't come true. He said, but this is a dream that what? That I'm going to fulfill. And of course, needless to say, the Panovitch Yeshiva certainly outgrew that original 500 seats of that base medrash. The Panovitch Rav was a person, again, who understood nearsighted and farsighted at the same time. To be realistic, yes, it's okay to have a healthy dose of realism in a person's life, but to always be aspiring for something more. The Slonimer Rebbe said, I would stand at the matzeva of a person who was a Baal She'ifos, even if his dreams never came true, and I would daven at that place. All the more so when we dream and we try to make our dreams a reality. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us in this month of Kislev. Again, Himlicho Samach B'Shena. This is a month of sleep, but it's not a month of sleep. Shena is Gematria Yosef Atzadik, the Baal HaChalomos. This is a month where we have the opportunity to become Baalei Chalomos, people who understand the power of dreams, people who can aspire for something more, to continue to dream. And Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will help us to see the fulfillment of all the things, again, that we say in the Tfilos of Chanukah. We should be zochet to see the Rabbim B'Yad Ma'atim, the Tmeyim B'Yad Tahorim, and Amir Tzashem, we should see the Zaydim B'Yad Oskei Sarasecha. Thank you very much. Good Shabbos. We'll daven Ma'ariv right here in 1 minute. Keep dreaming. Call it Tarakula.